Hello and welcome to The Hearing, our music review show here on the channel. I'm John.
And I'm Scotto.
And this past weekend, Marion Call, who we reviewed last fall, or last spring rather, did an online concert. She does one every couple of months. And this was her Halloween show. So she had a couple of costume changes. Her accompanist, or as a husky or guitarist, showed up as a Viking, which was funny. And she, Marion, went through a few costumes. She started off as Sansa Stark. And then switched to Link from the Zelda games. And then a few songs later, Saffron from Firefly, which is a great reference. And then the last one, I didn't get at all. She said she just had to change back into herself. Came back in this like kind of, you know, in like a mostly open black button front with a black tank top underneath. And earlier in the show, I'd noticed something odd on her one of her arms. I think it was in the Link costume. Like, there was something like a marking on her arm. Or, you know, some discoloration. Later, a couple of costumes later, might have been wearing Saffron. She holds up her wrist and I see a hash mark, a line with, you know, five lines through it. Or maybe it was some kind of weird, she was going for stitches or something.
All right.
And I didn't put it together. And I am a bad Whovian because I did not put it together until the next to the last song. She pulls out a marker in the middle of it, starts drawing lines on her chest and her face. And I realize, the fucking silence.
Oh.
She was running that gag throughout the whole show. Like, at points, she would look off, and the next to the last song was the time I really noticed it. She'd look off camera and, like, look confused. I thought maybe her husband had walked in or something. But she'd been doing that throughout the show, talking about, did you see that? And, you know, to Laura. Later, after the show, she sends out these two pictures. One is just a couple of selfies of her and Laura going out to get food in costume after the show. like all drawn on, you know. The, and then it was a collage of the four costumes of who the originals. So it was Sansa in like season two, Link, Saffron, and Amy. And she turns out at the end of the show, she was wearing the exact same thing Amy wore in one of the Silence episodes.
Wow.
and three of the four costumes were redheads, which Marion is. So that was also a dice bit of detail.
Okay, yeah.
Amy, Saffron, and Sansa all redheads.
That's devotion.
That was just a nice attention to detail. So I just
a marker that doesn't take much.
I would assume it wasn't a permanent. I would hope it wasn't a permanent marker. But yeah, I just had to bring that up because that was that just blew my mind. Her next concert is on December 1st. Like I said, she does them every couple of months now because she doesn't really tour extensively now. Look for her on social media, Marion Call, C-A-L-L, if you want to check that out. Anyway, on to this week's album, which is from 1970, Blows Against the Empire by Paul Kantner and Jefferson Starship. Kind of a two-parter. Because we did
some of those that wear forces.
Airplane last week, yeah.
Saying the Burnt Cross, right?
That title does remind me of I'm blanking on the name, Rage Against the Machine. I'm kind of surprised none of their albums came up when I searched it.
Yeah.
Blows Against the Empire is a sci-fi concept album. Now you know why we're talking about it. By Paul Kantner, released under the name Paul Kantner and Jefferson Starship, it is the first album to use the Starship moniker.
Yeah.
A name which Kantner and Grace Slick would later use for the band that emerged after Jack Cassidy and Jorma Kaukonen left to Jefferson Airplane. Recorded at Pacific High Recording Studios and Wally Heider Recording Studios in San Francisco, the album resulted from a period of cross-collaboration during late 69 through 71 by a collection of musicians from various San Francisco bands, including Airplane, The Grateful Dead, and Quicksilver Messenger Service, along with Crosby, Stills, and Nash, who were recording in the city at the time. It tells the story of a counterculture revolution against the oppressive Uncle Samuel and a plan to steal a starship from orbit and journey into space in search of a new home.
Yeah, if we were doing Zombie Takeout, it would be sponsored by concept albums.
Yeah.
It's not but meant for everyone to write.
This is a concept album. This is a hippie concept album.
Yeah.
That's why we had to do it. Blows Against the Empire was released in November of 1970, produced by Paul Kantner, and features Paul Kantner on vocals, electric and acoustic guitars, banjo, and bass machine. I would love to know, as a bass player, what a bass machine is. Grace Slick on vocals and piano. Jerry Garcia on banjo on Let's Go Together, pedal steel guitar on Have You Seen the Stars Tonight, sound effects and vocals on XM. That's going to be fun to talk about. And lead guitar on Starship. David Crosby, vocals and guitar on Child Is Coming and Have You Seen the Stars Tonight, backing vocals on Mau Mau and Starship. Peter Kaukonen on lead guitar on Mau Mau. Jack Cassidy, bass on A Child Is Coming and Sunrise. Harvey Brooks, bass on Starship. Joey Covington, drums and vocals on Mau Mau. Congas on Hijack. Paul Kreutzmann, drums on Let's Go Together. Graham Nash, congas on Hijack, sound effects on Home, backing vocals on Starship. Mickey Hart, percussion on Have You Seen the Stars Tonight, sound effects and vocals on XM. David Feinberg, backing vocals on Starship. And Phil Sawyer, sound effects on Home and XM. Reminder, I don't edit any songs into the episode for copyright reasons, but down in the description, you'll find links to Blows Against the Empire on YouTube and Spotify. On to track one, Mau Mau American. This starts with a really odd harmony between Kantner and Slick at the beginning. I couldn't quite figure it out, but it almost sounds kind of Middle Eastern.
Yeah, it kind of begins right in mid-note almost, you know?
They just started with this harmonized line. And I love the way the rhythm guitar and bass mix for the riff. It just gives it a really interesting sound.
I do. I like the sound of it. Just musically, I like the sound of this.
And for the most part, the lyrics are fairly typical hippie nonsense, you know.
That's where it starts to lose me.
You know, old people get out of the way, we're something new. It's just ridiculous adolescent platitudes.
It is so childish lyrically, and it's really funny to think that these are the same guys that do We Built This City in like 15 years from now. Like,
I did like the line, our grade B movie star Governor's War. Reference to Reagan, who was governor at the time. And the guitar solo is really good at the end. I'm kind of annoyed that the vocals step on it a bit.
Well, right.
Peter Kaukonen, just as good as his brother.
Lyrically, and it's a flaw throughout the entire album.
Oh, yes.
They're so impressed with their intellect, but they don't know how to fit that into a song.
I remember my early 20s. And yeah, this is, you know, old people just don't understand bullshit.
Parents just don't understand. You know, now that you bring it up, how old were they when they did this? Because it seems like...
That is a good question. I don't know. It
seems like...
This is about 5 years after Starship formed.
Right. It seems like they're a little too old to be doing this.
They had to be like pushing 30 at this point.
Right. Kantner was 29.
Okay. I was wondering if you were Googling. Okay.
Yeah. Well, because we needed the answer. Yeah, he's 29 years old when he's doing this. So, I mean, it's not hilariously funny, but it is still kind of like a really dude. It's time to leave the university and, you know.
On to track two, The Baby Tree, getting even weirder. It's about an island where babies grow on trees.
Right, the concept of this album doesn't even really come into being until somewhere in the middle of it, where you know,
it's America's horrible, we need to leave, and then the baby tree just doesn't fit. It's the one song that doesn't make sense on the album.
No,
and
it does not.
Practically a sea shanty.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, probably get my pick as the weakest track of the album, actually.
Yeah, oh, yeah, definitely. Apparently, also, the babies fall off of the trees and end up in piles when they get taken by the grown-ups, but only smiling babies.
Ah, boy.
And it's just vocals and banjo. It's just, I want to say, it is my pick for the weakest, but it's also just properly weird, which I kind of love about it. And speaking of properly weird, track three, Let's Go Together. There are two versions of the lyrics of this song. I went with the single version because that's on Spotify. The lyrics seem to mention Winnie the Pooh.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
There's something about the Pooh. And it's P-O-H, like Winnie the Pooh.
It kind of combines the first two songs together, really.
Yeah.
That country sound and then that rock that blues rock at the same time.
I love how present the bass is. It's just vocals, piano, and this huge bass that just give it this really epic sound.
It's kind of, it seems like it's past its time, though, doesn't it?
A little bit.
Like, this is 1970.
Yeah, this was very 60s folk rock blues. What Airplane was doing on you know, Surrealistic Pillow very much a couple years earlier.
Yeah, this seems like it's kind of out of place at this time, which is also funny how fast the music scene really changed this time.
Well, because basically Hendrix.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to pin it down to one guy, it was Hendrix. I mean, there was more to it.
I mean, a lot. If you look at like what the Beatles and the Stones, how they changed the way, just for the difference from 66 to 70.
And it's like, and nobody really years. Nobody really talks about them, but Blue Cheer, Summertime Blues, was incredibly influential.
Yeah,
that was to me the origin of punk. But you know, Sabbath was starting, I think, the next year, but they were Earth at this point.
I think they might have been. I think they may have had the first
Sabbath. Okay, this first might have been 69 then. Okay, then yeah, Sabbath.
I think so.
So yeah, the music scene in 69 just changed dramatically.
Kind of make me hit the old Google again, huh? But you know,
worth it. The lyrics on this one, Let's Go Together, it's just, you know, goodbye America, hello hippie ideals. It's nothing to Winnie the Pooh. That make no, absolutely no fucking sense. In the album version, apparently, or the single version, the other version of the song, it's The People, which makes more sense, way more sense than The Pooh.
Okay.
You have it yet?
Yeah, it is 70. It's 70 same
was
year.
The first album. I thought so. They were Earth in 69. I was pretty sure about that. All right, check for A Child Is Coming. She got pregnant, basically. The wife, Grace Slick's character, got pregnant. Her girlfriend. This is where they first reference Uncle Samuel. Like, were they trying to be sly and couch it, or were they just calling him by his full name?
I don't know why they would do that. I mean, it's like, can we kind of get who you're talking about? I mean, you're not.
I mean, if they couched it, we'd still know, and it would be at least a little clever. The lyrics are basically just, she's pregnant and fuck the system.
Right, and yeah. The early part of the song, that Crosby, Stills, and Nash feel to it. Well, I guess it literally is Crosby, Stills, and Nash. I mean, I couldn't get on board with it. It was just too, so overdone. By this time, it was overdone.
And I do like the big overdriven bass in the instrumental section, instrumental sections.
I like the breakdown part where they're just doing the it's getting better sort
that
of thing.
That went on way too long for me.
It did probably go on a little bit too long, but it is probably the more interesting part of the song.
Yeah. And then there's a bass solo, best part for me. and a feedback guitar solo, which I just loved. A lot of feedback on the guitar solo. This ends side one on the original version, so they did kind of go on a bit. A good song that was just musically a good song that I think was just marred by a bit of self-indulgence. I don't really have a pick for best song, I have to admit.
It was hard for me to find my pick for best song, but we haven't gotten to it yet.
Yeah. Track five, Sunrise. And some more nice feedback in the opening.
Yeah.
This is just bad poetry and noodly guitar.
Like, it could be an indictment of religion, or it could just be the patriarchy in general. I don't know.
I got civilized man isn't really civilized.
2,000 years, you know, this lot, you know, goddamn, what was it? 2,000 years, you're just for goddamn glory. Uh-huh. So who knows what that...
Yeah, and then just more noodly feedback. And it was just poetry that kind of turns into a song there at some point for a while.
Yeah.
Track six, Hijack.
We actually have a concept.
This is when they try to... They plan to steal the ship. Apparently, construction of the ship started in 80 and will finish in 90. This is why you don't want to put specific dates on your science fiction. Because eventually it will get to that date and it will seem horribly dated and funny.
Okay, so things are bad. They reference JFK, you know, the 23rd of November. Yeah. Then they mention the 68, you know, riots in Chicago. So I, of course, want to say, you know, don't worry, guys. You'll be performing shitty music for the movie Mannequin, but war will continue. No, but the plan is, so they're going to wait 10 years yeah. for when they're starting to build this. Oh, no, wait a minute. They're going to wait 20 years.
20 years until there's a ship that can take them out of
that's out gonna to start another planet. 10 years.
Yeah.
That's going to stop them now.
And the line, free minds, free bodies, free music, free dope. Kind of sums up the point of the album in general.
It does.
Only the sun knows what we really need to know. Though there were some nice Middle Eastern sounding harmonies and some great noisy guitar at the end. Now it gets properly interesting. Track 7, Home.
I thought I missed this. I'm like, wait a minute, because I mean, I've listened to this at work and stuff without taking notes the first few times. Usually I do it the other way around where I take notes first and then listen to it freely. But I did this the other way around and I'm waiting to take notes. I'm like, wait a minute, this sounds like, have you seen the start? Oh.
It's just 30 seconds, 37 yes. seconds of sound effects.
Right.
And it's a nice sudden beginning and just noise for 37 seconds.
Which
I think this is the ship taking off.
Yeah. This is kind of where they leave. I mean, they're kind of behind the times in the first side. Mm-hmm. But think about it. This is 3 years before Dark Side of the Moon. No,
this was very ahead of its time.
And sound effects really being used in this way, which a lot of people credit Dark Side.
Was Syd Barrett still in Floyd at this point?
No, he was gone.
He was gone by this point. But yeah, Richard Wright really hadn't played with the sound effects yet.
Oh, maybe, because this is like the year of Adam Hart and Mother.
Oh, okay.
And before this was, well, yeah, Umaguma was the year before this.
Oh, all right. So he was playing with them. Brian Eno probably was doing a lot of that stuff.
Yeah.
But still kind of ahead of its time. They're on par with Floyd and Eno, which is a lot to say for Paul Kantner.
Right. They're kind of laughably behind in the first half of the album. And here it's like, oh, they've got something going on here.
And then track 8, Have You Seen the Stars Tonight? Apparently they've taken off because there's a line about a deck. Apparently they're on the ship. The opening is almost half of the song. It's all instrumental. Yes.
And I love it. It's just, I mean, they really paint a good visual picture with the music.
Yeah.
Just for that, I'm going to go with that as my favorite track on the album.
And also this is when I realized that, Grace Slick's actually a decent piano player.
Well, right. And they keep it short. Yeah. They actually put the lyrics to fit the music for a change here.
And it's basically saying they can go anywhere now because they're free from Earth.
Yeah. There isn't too, like, wordiness to their lyrics. Mm-hmm. It's probably the best written song on the album.
On to track 9. This is probably my favorite just because it's so bizarre.
Yeah, this is where they really get Dark Side of the Moon here.
More sound effects, but this one's twice as long, a minute and a half. Almost a minute and a half. And there are some spoken vocals, some really creepy sound effects. There's a line of saying that they're 30,000 light years away from Earth. I'm thinking the sound effects are just kind of the weirdness is maybe a wormhole that's distorting things. I don't know. This is where it gets properly weird and very 70s sci-fi, if you think about it. You know, 70s sci-fi in terms of movies. They tend to
have
that weird distortion.
There's a number of 70s sci-fi albums, if you think about it, like Emerson, Lake, and Palmer.
Oh, yeah, true.
Brain Salad Surgery is all about this war with, you know, computers.
Right. 2112.
Yeah, right. And then 2112 after that.
Yeah. It was right in line with that. It's just thoroughly bizarre. And I think that's what I couldn't go with the song that I liked as a song. So I just went with the song I liked for
yeah.
And finally on to track 10, Starship. I wonder if the name of the song or the band came first. Because Starship does seem like a logical progression from Airplane, but they could have come from the song.
Yeah.
And apparently everything is great on the Starship. There's a line back into the future, and I'm wondering if that's where the name of the movie came from. Also, the melted acid fever streaking through my mind. Which, again, sums up the album nicely.
Yeah. It is a perfect ending to the album.
The light in the night is the sun. and they found a planet. One of the last lines is mankind gone from the cage. So they found their new home. Some really nice lead guitar work. Too bad some of the vocals step on it.
And none of those same things will happen with mankind as of their new planet.
Of course not, because, you know, history never repeats itself. There's no such thing as human nature, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, do you recommend it?
Oh, it's a tough call, honestly. I mean, there's some great musicianship to it. There's some horrible lyrics to it.
Yeah.
And just some, like, they saw what happened with the Hell's Angels a year before. Why are they still in this fucking, you know, point. Like, oh, yeah. Nothing's going to stop us now, bullshit. So, I'd say no.
I will recommend it just because it is ridiculous, weird, self-indulgent, and trite. And it's, I recommend it just to listen to once.
Yeah.
You know, just to see what it is. That's it for Blows Against the Empire. Until next time, when we'll be reviewing Comfort Eagle by Cake. This was a last-minute substitution because after this, we needed something that we knew we'd both really like. Until then, always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life, there you are.
There you are.